John 3:16, there's a reason why this is probably the most well-known verse among Christians in the world, I would venture to say, because it has so much contained in one verse. So, don't look at your Bibles. We'll say it together to get started. You ready? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very good. Let's pray. Give us wisdom, Lord. Use your Holy Spirit and your word to work miracles in our hearts through this amazing verse. May we glorify you. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. God so loved. So God didn't just love the world. God so loved the world. That's important. Romans 5:8, most of you know it. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Commended means He showed it. And then 1 John 3:16, turn there if you would please. Two great verses in 1 John that remind us that God so loved. 1 John 3:16, in other words, the love of God was manifested through Calvary. 1 John 3:16, look what it says. And also in, oh, that's 2 Peter. Oh, I hate it when I do that. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So hereby we can see it. Hereby we can perceive the love of God. And then while you're in 1 John, look at chapter 4, verse 9. It says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. So here it talks about perceiving it. It's manifested. God so loved the world. So the world, what does that mean? 1 John chapter 2, while you're in 1 John, verse 2. It means that when God paid the price, He didn't just pay for some, He paid for all. That word world is not talking about the earth. It's talking about the people of the earth, past, present, and future. 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:14, please. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So God manifested His love, but His love was to the whole world. God so loved the world. And that manifestation came through what He did. You've heard me say this enough times, but love is action. Love is what we do. And God loved us through what He did. Just like we love Him through obedience, He loved us through Calvary. Now, most of us know verses like Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life shall I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Notice God's connecting there, doing something with love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So the giving, that is the love. The love was the giving of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. So He so loved, in other words, that love was manifested in the most amazing way ever in history. He so loved every person that He gave. But what did He give? His only begotten Son. Could there be a greater sacrifice? No. Romans 8:32, please. But God not only did this because He loved us, but He also did it because it's something that we can all relate to. Which of us would be willing to sacrifice our own child for someone else? We just couldn't do it. And it's a sacrifice that we all understand is the highest sacrifice, even higher than giving your own life. but saying, I will sacrifice my child for someone else. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son. So there it is. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God so loved the world, he manifested that love at Calvary. He so loved the whole world that he gave. He revealed that love through his sacrifice. So that's what God did. And then it says there in verse 16 of John, whosoever. That's an important word in God's word. The word whosoever. That word is the anti-Calvinism word. It says that whosoever, anybody, can be saved. And the word whosoever is used all throughout the scriptures to talk about who is eligible to be saved. Now, most of us know Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should come to repentance, but what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All. When Jesus died, he died for every person, and every person can be saved. Now, that doesn't mean every person will be saved, because God gave us a free will. But notice, if you would, Revelation 22, verse 17. Four verses from the end of the Bible. This word, whosoever. We see it right at the very end of God's word. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever. Very important word. So God so loved, he so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, what? Believeth. Believeth. Whosoever believeth. So, how do we receive the everlasting life? You got to believe. Whosoever believeth. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 6:47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That word believe is the same as the word trust. It means to trust Christ, to believe what he did on Calvary was sufficient payment for our sins, and to place our faith and trust on his payment for our sins, that he might be our Savior. But whosoever believeth, that's why the Gospel of John was written. Go to John chapter 20, verse 31, we'll see this. But John, unlike many authors, actually explained at the end of his book, he said, this is why I wrote this book. And so he tells us why he wrote the book. John 20, 31. It says, but these are written that ye might believe. So there it is. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now that word perish is talking about, as we all understand it, it is to be eternally dead in hell. Jesus, if you go to John 12:46, explained it in a very beautiful way. Well, for us, a beautiful way, not for the unsaved, but notice John 12:46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So to perish is to abide in darkness, is to stay in darkness. So we're born dead, right? Ephesians 2:1 says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So we're born dead. God, if we believe on him, makes it so that we will not perish. John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. And let's look at John 5:24 while we're in John. Another word that God uses is the word condemnation. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." It means that once we have believed on him, we can't be condemned for our sin. Isn't that a blessing? There's no condemnation. There is. It's gone. So whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. The theme of John, the whole gospel of John, is the believe and life. Those are the two most common words in the gospel of John. Believe and life. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:36, turn over there. He that believeth on the Son hath. Now notice that word hath means present possession. It doesn't say will have in the future, which is what many cults teach. No, it says hath now. Hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And Jesus said in John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And we could go on. We just saw last week in verse 15. "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal, everlasting. Those are interchangeable. So it's no wonder it's one of the most beautiful and most common verses, because it has so much in it. It's like its own little doctrine class in one verse. God so loved what? The entire world, that he gave, so he manifested that love. But who did he give? His only begotten Son. Why? So that anyone, whosoever, will believe on Christ, whosoever believeth, puts their faith in Christ, trusts Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary for their salvation, will not perish, will never die. Jesus said in John 11:26, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die, but have not just life, but everlasting life." And the choice is for every single person, everlasting death or everlasting life. How sad that God paid the price. All we have to do is believe, and many people will still perish without everlasting life. But praise God, we trusted Christ and we received everlasting life. And praise God, he loved us enough to give his Son as our substitute, that we could have everlasting life. So great verse. I hope everybody in this room has it memorized. And now you have your own doctrine class memorized. How exciting is that? Let's pray.